Good afternoon. It's time for a Juno Afternoon every Wednesday, the 15th of June, the year 2016. Today on Juno Afternoon, we'll find out about Flag Day activities, and I'll talk to Larry Hombre about an international high school student exchange program. That, Writer's Almanac, Burnout Music, and more today on the Juno Afternoon. Well, the forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 46 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny skies with high temperatures around 74 degrees. Friday, partly sunny with high temperatures near 67 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's Prime Minister has met with the chief of a troubled Northern Ontario reserve, which drew world attention because of a suicide crisis among its young people. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, to coincide with the meeting, the federal government announced $69 million in new spending for Indigenous mental health services.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau came out of the two-hour meeting with the chief of the Attawapiskat First Nation, Bruce Shishish, with a positive message.
This is the beginning of a new era, not just for Attawapiskat, but for relationships with First Nations across the country.
Trudeau also committed to new land for the reserve in partnership with the province of Ontario, and that was a positive step for Shishish.
The Prime Minister clearly committed to fast-track new land for Attawapiskat. Finally, we have a solid agreement to sit down in a practical way of solving housing, infrastructure.
And the $69 million in mental health care money over 3 years was also a high point, according to Perry Belgar, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, who also participated in the meeting.
It was a good meeting. I think for Attawapiskat, they got two full-time health workers and commitment from both levels of government to build a new community center. So it's a positive step.
Ottawa's commitment also includes providing 4 crisis response teams in Ontario, Manitoba, and Nunavut, as well as 32 additional mental wellness teams. At the same time, the government is working with First Nations leaders to come up with a new health accord. I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Navajo officials are criticizing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency after it awarded a grant to the tribe for water monitoring following the Gold King Mine waste spill. The tribe says the funds arrived more than 300 days after the incident, which tainted the San Juan River. Ryan Heinches reports.
The $500,000 grant will assist the Navajo Nation with water and sediment sampling on the San Juan. But Navajo President Russell Begay says the tribe has needed such a system since the August 2015 spill, and the U.S. EPA hasn't acted fast enough. Workers with the agency released an estimated 3 million gallons of toxic waste into the Animas and San Juan Rivers. It forced several communities on the Navajo Nation to go without water for agriculture and drinking. Begay says many tribal members still struggle with the spill's after effects, and the U.S. EPA hasn't done enough to help them. The agency, however, says it allotted $1 million to the tribe last fall for monitoring and ecological restoration throughout the Navajo Nation. The U.S. EPA also says subsequent tests have shown contaminants in the San Juan have returned to pre-spill levels. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
The Battle of the Horse Nations kicked off in Buffalo, Wyoming this past weekend. Eric Gladys has more.
The first Indian relay races of the season kicked off in Buffalo, Wyoming this past weekend. 20 adult teams competed in what has been called America's first extreme sport, where riders dressed in traditional regalia leap from one moving horse to another along a half-mile track. Gary Fellers with the Professional Indian Horse Racing Association says the sport, which dates back more than 400 years, is a growing economic driver for some 16 Native American tribes.
This is an opportunity that is tied in with families and family values and traditional values, and people love to see it. It's the most exciting entertainment you've ever seen.
Teams representing the Blackfeet, Crow, Nakota, and Ogallala Lakota Sioux Nations competed before a capacity crowd for $50,000 in prize money and points towards September's championship races. Dustin Kruger with the Silver Mountain team took first place in the adult relay representing the Crow Nation. The Buffalo event also featured races in women's and warrior categories along with kids and junior relay races. I'm Eric Galatis.
The next relay races are set to take place this weekend in Alberta, Canada. Championships will be held in Billings, Montana in September. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the year-long celebration of Native American artist Lloyd Kiva New at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and the New Mexico Museum of Art. Info at nmculture.org/LKN. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Navajo Nation Bar Association to the Albuquerque Sheraton Uptown June 9th and 10th. Information on convention and tourism services at CABQ.org. That's SIABQ.org.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, New York, 2 2, Juneau afternoon. My first guests are Keith Wertheimer, Lai Hinkle, Ruben Willis, and Paul King here to talk about Flag Day on Saturday. Thank you for coming down to the station, everybody.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you very much, Jeff.
So, Keith and Lai, you're from the Elks. Could you tell me a little bit about the Elks, please?
Go ahead, Lai. I'll let you take the lead.
Keith is currently the exalted ruler for our organization, and I'm one of the trustees. And the Elks Lodge here in Juneau, it's kind of a twofold thing. One, it's a place for members to gather, to have a place to associate, and it's the other big thing is that we do a lot of community events, and we're very community-focused in our organization.
What kind of events have you done recently?
We do a yearly, actually we do it twice a year, an event with Big Brothers and Big Sisters where we put on a cooking class. So we do that at the facility at Thunder Mountain High School, and we have 10 to 20 Big Brothers and Big Sisters that join us. And so we put on a cooking class. We give them these aprons that they get to have, brand new aprons that they use, and they take home with them. And it's a couple of hour event that we do twice a year, and it's a lot of fun for them, and they learn to make new dishes.
How many people are in the lodge?
Currently, I think there's 164 members.
Well, that's a lot. Where do you fit them all?
Well, we wouldn't be able to fit them all in there at one time, but luckily not everybody shows up at every event.
And Ruben Willis and Paul King, you're both with the Boy Scouts, and Paul is a Cub Scout. Thank you for coming by. Can you tell me a little bit about the Scouts, please?
We'd be happy to. Our Troop 55 is sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They've been a large supporter of the Scouting organization since it was adopted as their young men's program many years ago. We currently have in three different congregations, three different packs for the Cub Scouts and three different troops for the Boy Scouts. Paul here is one of the Cub Scouts. He's been working on his Weeblos recently, just moved up in advance and got his bear. And he's decked out in his uniform, blue with yellow, very sharp looking. I like his homemade slide that he's made. He's looking very sharp today. But as the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts program teaches young men how to become good citizens, appreciate the heritage of our great nation, and to learn important skills in the outdoors and interaction and leadership.
Paul, what kind of things do you do to get ready to be a Weeblo?
What do you do to get ready to be a Weeblo? What are some of the badges that you've earned in to advance to be a bear?
Well, they're one of the things that he does is to take care of Flag Day activities.
He does. In fact, Paul, have you learned some how to handle a flag and fold it?
Yes.
And have you done presenting the colors where you bring the flag in at the beginning of your meetings?
Yeah.
Have you done the Pinewood Derby yet?
Yeah.
How'd you do in the Pinewood Derby this year?
I got third place.
Well, congratulations. So we're here to talk about Flag Day.
Yes, our Flag Day ceremony will be this Saturday, the 18th, at about noon in front of the new lodge. The new Elks Lodge is located almost directly across from Valley Restaurant, and this ceremony will be open to the public, and we're going to have the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts as an honor guard. And we'd love to have as many people in the community show up as would like to attend the ceremony.
Can you tell me a little bit about Flag Day itself?
Well, I'm going to turn that over to Lai. He can probably give you some more information on it. It dates back quite a while. It's been, the Elks has actively been involved. It's part of our ritual. The Elk originally sat on the American flag during the meetings. It's part of our ritual ceremonies. And our lodge is heavily involved in Americanism and patriotism. That's one of the important principles of our organization.
What's on the agenda for Saturday?
Just the ceremony in front of the lodge, like I said, and then we're going to have a color guard, Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, and there'll be officers there. The ceremony will be at noon, and it'll probably take approximately an hour and a half.
Yeah, we have a special emblem committee that made up of some ladies from the lodge, and they're going to do a special ceremonial folding of the flag, and they do a really nice job of respecting and celebrating the flag by doing that folding ceremony. I want to say that there's probably people out there listening saying that Flag Day was yesterday. It's on the 14th, and that's true. Flag Day every year is on June 14th, but we decided to have our celebration on Saturday so that more of the community could join us. We thought it would be difficult to have very many community members be able to do that on a Tuesday. So that's why we're having it on Saturday. And it's okay as far as the Elks requirements, as long as we do the ceremony very close to the 14th. And so that's why we're going to do it on Saturday.
I'm going through Douglas. I noticed a lot of people have their flags out in Douglas area.
Yes, the community did a great job of showing their patriotism and putting their flags out this week. Thank you, everyone, for doing that.
Reuben, what are the Boy Scouts going to be doing on Saturday?
Well, we plan to support the Elks and participate in their color guard and presentation of the colors. We feel it's important that we show the proper respect and educate, because our country's such a wonderful country, and so much is based on the patriotism of those that have gone before. Paul's learned some of the significance of the colors and the symbolism in the flag. Paul, can you tell me what some of the colors represent and what the 50 stars are all about?
The 50 stars represent the 50 states of America. And the blue on the flag represents vigilance and chief.
What do the 13 stripes represent?
The 13 stripes represent the 13 original colonies.
Exactly. Many of the public probably knows these principles from school, or not. It's important that we remember them because of such a heritage that comes with it. For those that do fly flags, many are not certain if they have a flag that's gotten old, how to properly destroy it, and it'd be good for the public to know that if a flag has gotten old and needs to be destroyed, it just needs to be done respectfully. I understand the VHF can do that, or individuals can, as long as it's done in a respectful manner. Typically, that's done by burning the flag, in a respectful manner. The storing and proper keeping of a flag is important, again, because it represents so much of our history as a nation.
Keith, you want to go over one more time where the celebrations?
Yes, it'll be at the Elks Lodge 420, our new lodge that we just finished building, and we're open for businesses directly across from Valley Restaurant. It'll be at 12 noon on Saturday, right in front of the lodge where the American flag is flying.
All right. Thank you for coming down, everybody. Is there anything you'd like to mention before we go on to the next guest?
I would like to add one thing, that after the ceremony, we're going to have some refreshments and some food. So the ladies of the Emblem Club have been gracious enough to say that they're going to prepare something for everybody. And then the lodge will also be open so people can get drinks after the ceremony as well. So.
Just absolutely, and if you want a short tour, we'd be more than glad to show you around the premises. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Are you interested in starting a child care business? THREAD, a statewide network of professionals who work individually with families and early educators and the Association for the Education of Young Children, want to help you start today. Stop by their open house on Thursday, June 16th from 12 until 1 p.m. to learn about the support they offer, including free supplies like health and safety kits, children's books, and more. Enjoy snacks, door prizes, and free books at the AEYC office in the Juno Empire Building. Get into the business of caring. Call 789-1235 to learn more.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 15th of June, 2016. It was on this day in 1215 the barons of England forced onto King John the Magna Carta, the Great Charter. They felt the crown had gone too far in its taxation of them, and they made him put his seal to it on this day, saying that the king should be subject to the same laws as everyone else, and saying that no free man should be seized or imprisoned or stripped of his rights or possessions or deprived of his standing in any other way except by the lawful judgment of his equals or by the law of the land. This is the day on which, in 1752, Benjamin Franklin is believed to have performed his famous experiment, tying his kite to a silk string with an iron key on the end of the string, and from the key he ran a wire into a Leyden jar which could store an electrical charge, and thereby he proved that lightning is electricity. He was lucky to survive this experiment. Several people tried it after him, and they were electrocuted. It's the birthday of Saul Steinberg, born near Bucharest, Romania, 1914, studied architecture in Milan when the fascist government took over in Italy. He got a visa to come to the U.S., and he began his career drawing for the New Yorker magazine, which he did for 50 years, covers and cartoons and many illustrations. During World War II, Steinberg taught Chinese guerrillas how to blow up bridges, and he drew anti-Nazi cartoons that were dropped behind enemy lines. Best known for his cover in 1976 called A View of the World from Ninth Avenue, which embodied a view of Manhattan as the center of the world. It's the birthday of Edvard Grieg, born in Bergen, Norway, 1843, who led a busy life as a composer and conductor and piano soloist, traveling around Europe and performing his famous piano concerto in A minor. And it's the birthday of the science writer Davis Sobel, born in New York City, 1947. Her mother was a chemist, her father was a doctor. She wrote about science for the New York Times and then had a big book in 1996 called Longitude. Her latest book called More Perfect Heaven, How Copernicus Revolutionized the Cosmos. Here's a poem for today by Michelle Y. Burke entitled A Life. Each afternoon he took his pipe and led his goats beyond the pasture to a neighbor's field behind his farm, not exactly his, but not exactly not. As the goats clipped the tall grasses, he sat in the chair he never failed to bring. Sometimes he read, most often not. The vetch climbed the goldenrod, the dandelions turned from gold to globe, and every day he went, thinking to himself how good it was to be almost, but not entirely, alone. A poem by Michelle Y. Burke, A Life, from her collection Animal Purpose, published by Ohio University Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse, back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity, brain training with over 50 challenging games from scientists working with university researchers to push cognitive research forward. Learn more at lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
About 26 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juneau Afternoon. Our next guest is Larry Embry from the ASSE International Student Exchange Program. We're going to talk about the program and a few other things. Larry, thank you for being on the air with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So can you please tell me what the ASSE International Student Exchange Program is all about?
Oh, you bet. So ASSE was originally established as the American Scandinavian Student Exchange Program in 1976, and since then has grown to over 40 countries involving exchange students, boys and girls, ages 15 through 18, who are carefully screened and selected by ASSE representatives abroad. School administrators, teachers, and representatives evaluate these students, and they are placed with local families for a semester or a full school year.
Is there a cost involved?
The only cost is you bring these people in as part of your family. And so, you know, you take care of the lodging of the student and the meals for the student. Extra expenses such as school supplies, extra clothing, things like that, that's optional. They typically take care of that with their own money.
How many people are involved?
How many kids are involved? We've got currently over, I'm just checking here real quick. Are you talking in Washington and Alaska? We have approximately 80 students.
And internationally, you have about 40 countries. That sounds pretty impressive.
Yes, and it's growing every year. We've added new countries this year. We've got, for example, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and then we've got Slovakia, Turkey, Bangladesh, Lithuania, Tajikistan, China, Romania, just all kinds of countries all around the world.
How many communities in Alaska are taking part?
Currently, there are 7 communities in Alaska that are hosting students, give or take one or two communities. Juneau has had students in the past, and Anchorage, Skagway, Fairbanks, North Pole, Kodiak, Seward, Chukiak, Sitka, Cordova, to name a few.
What would you say is the mission statement for the organization?
Well, it's to provide an opportunity for people to make the world a little smaller. It's a chance for the students to experience life in the United States, but it's also an opportunity for host families and schools to experience the world without having to travel. Many of these students come here after competing against thousands of students for the opportunity to participate in a program like this, and they the saddest part of the year is right now when these students are going home.
What's the process? Do they just fill out a form? Or?
Yeah, if somebody's interested in participating, they can go to a website, which is host.asse.com. And on the website, there's a up in the top, it says hosting an exchange student. And then there's also an opportunity for you to meet some of the exchange students and find out some of their likes. You can choose countries. You can choose male or female. You can choose based on their interests, whether they're a scholarship student or not. There are all kinds of ways that you can narrow a search for the student that fits your particular family.
Do you have a website or phone number for more information?
The host.asse.com is a great place to start. And if you filled out the information on that website, a representative from ASSE will contact you and help you answer any questions you may have, and help you if you are interested in hosting a student, or if you wanted to become involved as an area representative for ASSE, that's also a good place to go.
I'm talking with Larry Hembree from the ASSE International Student Exchange Program. Larry, is there anything you'd like to add that I might have forgotten to ask?
I don't think so. I just want people to know that this can be a life-changing event for families as well as students. The opportunities, like I say, to see the world through another person's eyes, through another culture's eyes, is so valuable. We have numerous people that have hosted 18 to 20 times and just continue to do so. We have retired people, we have young people, we have all kinds of families that just absolutely love to be involved with the program.
All right, Larry, what's the phone number people can call?
If people would like to call, you can call our Western Region office at 1-800-733-2773.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. Thank you for being a guest on the show today.
You bet. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
This is Bird Note. During the day, an American robin sings a lovely, familiar song of rich phrases. The phrases vary and ring forth with a lilting quality. But as the sun begins to set, robin's song takes on a new and exquisitely different character. From sunset until dark, a robin adds ethereal whispered notes to its carol, creating a song of remarkable grace and complexity. Let's listen more closely to the fine detail of a robin's evening song by slowing down the same notes to half normal speed. Here's another passage of evening song at half speed. In the high latitudes, where twilight lingers late into the evening, a robin may expand its daytime carols into a twilight symphony that continues for hours. Support for Bird Note comes from Forterra, creating great communities and conserving great lands in Washington State.
It's about 35 minutes past the hour, and you're attuned to a Juneau afternoon. 4th of July always brings to mind candy, and Bill Harley has a great story called The Best Candy in the World.
Barney Humphnagel was in 4th grade at Hieronymus Bosch Elementary School. One afternoon, his mother picked him up after school. Barney got in the car and said, "Boy, I cannot wait to get home." His mother pulled out from the circle onto the street and said, "Fine, honey, we're going home at first." "Oh, no, Mom, please. I just have to stop, Mom, and get a few things." "No."
at the supermarket. Mom!
What?
Mom, we go there every day. We do not. I just have to get some things for dinner. Mom!
Don't be silly. It'll just take a minute.
Mom, you have no idea what a minute is.
Stop that, she said. They drove down the street until they reached the supermarket. His mom parked in the supermarket parking lot. She said, do you want to go in and help me? Barney can never decide which would make his mother go faster, to go in and help her there in the supermarket or to stay in the car and make her nervous.
I don't know, he said.
Why don't you help me? Come on.
All right.
They got out of the car and they walked across the supermarket parking lot. They got to the doors of the supermarket and they opened. Barney and his mom walked in. Barney walked over and picked up a handbasket. No, honey, I need the shopping cart.
No, Mom, don't get a cart.
No, I need the cart.
No, Mom, don't get a cart. We'll be here forever.
Don't be ridiculous. This is just going to take a second.
A second? Let's see. One. Oh, there's a second. Are we done?
Stop that, she said. They walked into the supermarket, down the aisles. Barney hated how his mother shopped. She would stop and look up at the shelves, and then she would take something down and look at it as if she'd never seen it before. And then she'd take down another thing that was almost exactly like the first. And look at that, too, as if she were waiting for one of them to say, pick me!
No, pick me!
Pick me!
Pick me!
Pick me! Mom, just take one!
Stop it, she said. They walked up and down the aisles of the supermarket, his mother filling up the cart, until they got almost to the very end, and she said, oh my gosh, I forgot lettuce, I've got to go back.
No, Mom, please, not all the way back to the beginning, it's like starting a game all over.
Stop that, she said. They went all the way back to the beginning of the supermarket. Finally, they got to the checkout line. It was a mile long.
Mom, Barney said, I'm going to be the only boy in the history of the United States of America that's starved to death in a supermarket.
That does it. I've had it, she said. If you're going to be like this, just go stand outside the door right there and you wait for me.
Fine, Barney said.
Barney walked out of the supermarket and he stood there and waited and waited. And finally the doors opened. He saw this cart come out. At first, he thought it was his mother's cart. It was filled with groceries. But he couldn't believe who was pushing it. It was this little old lady, so short. And even though it was a warm day, she was wearing this long red winter coat that reached all the way down to her shoes. She was pushing that cart, and when she got to the end of the sidewalk, she stopped to see if there was any traffic. But then, she couldn't get the cart going again. She pushed and pushed, and Barney's heart went out to her. I'm going to help her, he thought. He walked over to where she was and said, can I help you?
Oh, are you sure you have time?
Yeah, my mom said it'll just be a minute. I got about 10 or 15 minutes more.
Oh, fine.
Let me push the cart for you.
Oh, I have that little blue car over there.
And she pointed to the far end of the parking lot. Fine, said Barney. Let me push the cart. And he started to push the cart across the parking lot.
Wait for me, she said.
Barney slowed down. They walked all the way across the parking lot until they got to her car. And then that little old woman reached into her pocketbook, a pocketbook she'd been dragging along the ground. It was so big. She reached in and pulled out a key. She opened the front door, and then Barney opened the back door and put all the groceries in the back. There, he said.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, you are such a big help. Would you like a nickel?
Barney said, no, I don't want it.
Are you sure?
No, I don't want a nickel.
Are you sure?
No, it's fine.
Oh, wait, she said. I have something else.
She leaned into the car, and there on the driver's seat, Barney saw a brown, wrinkled bag, just as wrinkled as she was. I have a treat in here. She reached into the bag, and she pulled out a piece of candy, wrapped up in a red wrapping paper, twisted at each end.
There. Take this little piece of candy.
No, Barney said.
No, take the candy. Put it in your pocket for later.
No,
please take it. You can have it as a treat.
Barney said, all right. He took the candy, put it in his pocket, and forgot all about it. Goodbye.
Thank you.
He walked across the parking lot into the supermarket. His mother was still in line. But finally she finished. They put the groceries in the car, and they drove home. Barney went to bed that night and got up the next morning. He was late getting ready for school, so without thinking, he just put on the same pair of pants he'd been wearing the day before. Barney's mother dropped him off at school, and there were two of his friends, Lenny and Derek. The school doors were still closed. School wasn't open yet. The teachers were inside, and the kids were outside waiting to be let in. Barney started to talk to Derek and Lenny, and as he did, he reached into his pants pocket. "What's that?" he said. He pulled out the piece of candy. "Oh, I forgot about this." "What's that?" said Lenny. "Oh, it's this piece of candy this lady gave me yesterday because I helped her." "Cool," said Lenny. "Can I have it?" "Sure." He put it in Lenny's hand. Lenny looked at it and said, "I never seen a piece of candy like this before." "It's just a piece of candy," said Barney. Lenny unwrapped it. "I never smelled a piece of candy like this before." He put it in his mouth.
"Oh, my gosh. This is the best candy in the whole world."
"Really?" said Barney. His friend Derek said, "You got any more?" Barney said, "No, she just gave me one piece." But he put his hand in his pocket. "What's that?" he said. He pulled out another piece of candy, exactly like the first. "That's weird. She must have given me two pieces." "Can I have it?" Derek asked. "Sure," said Barney. He put it in Derek's hand. Derek said, "I've never seen a piece of candy like this before." He opened it up. "I never smelled a piece of candy like this before." He put it in his mouth. "Oh my gosh, this is the best candy in the whole world," Barney thought. Weird. Just then, the doors of the school opened. All the kids poured into the school, running, walking, skipping down the hallway, headed towards their classes. Barney was headed to Ms. Simmons' class. That was his teacher. Two things you need to know about Ms. Simmons. First, she was a neat freak. Everything has a place and everything in its place. It's hard to learn if things aren't neat. Make sure we stay neat. The second thing was, she loved reading. Read, 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 read. That's all she wanted to talk about. How important reading was. Everybody had to read every day until you thought she might be crazy. Barney got into class and there was spelling work on the board. School hadn't started yet and they were already working. Barney was copying some spelling words when he made a mistake. He looked in his desk for an eraser but couldn't find one. He thought, maybe I've got one in my pocket. He reached in his pocket. "What's that?" he said. He pulled out another piece of candy, exactly like the first and second. Weird. He put it in his desk, and then he reached in his pocket again. There was another piece. He put that in his desk. He reached in his pocket again. There was another piece. He put that in the desk, and then another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another. There was always a piece of candy in his pocket. This is amazing, Barney thought. He kept stuffing candy in his desk until he had about 250 pieces of candy in his desk. Unbelievable, Barney thought. And just then, Ms. Simmons said, "Class, class, eyes to the front, eyes on me. It's time for lessons. We're about to begin reading. You know how important reading is. But I must tell you, I was walking around class yesterday after everyone had left, and I noticed that some of you have very messy desks. I don't know how you get anything done with those messy desks. So before we do anything else, we are going to clean our desks. I want you to clean them out now. I do not want anything in your desk that does not belong in school." And Barney thinks,
"Uh-oh, I got 250 pieces of candy in my desk."
"I'll be coming around to help," Ms. Simmons said.
"Oh, no," Barney thought.
And Ms. Simmons started to walk up and down the aisles of the class. Everyone was pulling things out of their desk, but not Barney. He just sat there at his desk with his hands folded. Finally, Ms. Simmons reached his desk. "Barney?"
Yeah, Ms. Simmons.
"Your desk?"
Yeah, right here."
"Yeah, we're cleaning them out now."
"Oh, yeah, cleaning out the desk."
"Could you clean yours out now?"
"Huh?"
"I want you to clean out your desk."
Well, actually, Miss Simmons, my desk is pretty neat."
"Barney, it was your desk."
"My desk?"
"Your desk was a messy one. I want you to clean it out now."
"Miss Simmons, I think I should do it later."
"I think you should do it now."
"No."
"Do you want some help?"
"No."
"Let me help."
"No!"
But before he could stop her, she had leaned over and looked in his desk. Barney Hofnagel, what is all this candy doing in your desk? I don't know. You don't know? No, I don't know. You put it in there? Yeah. You brought all that candy into school? No. I don't understand it. Neither do I. Barney, he said, I'm sorry, Ms. Simmons. I can't explain it. I had a piece of candy in my desk, and then there was another one and another one, and I kept putting it in my desk. There's always a piece of candy in my pocket. You have a piece of candy in your pocket now? Yeah, probably just one piece. May I have it? All right, but there's just always going to be another piece of candy. He reached in his pocket, took out the piece of candy, and put it in Ms. Simmons' hands. Barney, you know the rules about candy in school. I've never seen a piece of candy like this before, Barney thinks. Uh-oh. She opens it up. I've never smelled a piece of candy like this before, Barney thinks. Uh-oh. She puts it in her mouth. Oh, my gosh! This is the best candy in the whole world! Attention, class. Eyes on me. Everyone line up for candy from Barney. Miss Simmons, he says, what about reading? Who cares about reading, Barney? We've got candy. Yeah, but line up. The kids line up, because when your teacher tells you to line up for candy, you'd better do it. Give them the candy, Barney. Give them the candy. Barney reaches in his pocket and begins to hand out candy to one kid after another. Each kid looks at the candy and says, never seen a piece of candy like this before. Never smelled a piece of candy like this before. Oh my gosh, this is the best candy in the whole world. They finish. Barney says, all done. Ms. Simmons says, no, we're not. Time for seconds. Barney thinks, oh no. They are making so much noise, the teacher next door, Mr. Dinkmeyer, sticks his head in the classroom. Ms. Simmons, what's going on in here? Get over here, Dinkmeyer. I got something I want to show you. What? Are you sure you're all right? Never been better, Dinkmeyer. Come over here. Mr. Dinkmeyer walks over. Give him a piece of candy, Barney. Ms. Simmons, give him the candy, Barney. He takes a piece of candy, puts it in Mr. Dinkmeyer's hands. Never seen you like this, Ms. Simmons. Never seen a piece of candy like this before. Opens it up. Never smelled a piece of candy like this before. Puts it in his mouth. Oh, my gosh, this is the best candy in the whole world. Let me get my class. Barney says, oh, no. But he did. His class came in, and then the other fourth grade class. Soon, the entire fourth grade was lined up getting candy from Barney Hofnagel. Never seen a piece of candy like this before. Never smelled a piece of candy like this before. Oh, my gosh, this is the best candy in the whole world. The word gets down to the office that Barney Hofnagel is handing out candy to the entire fourth grade.
Will Barney Hofnagel please report to the office to see Mr. Dibble?
Not Mr. Dibble. Mr. Dibble, the principal, he'd spoken to Mr. Dibble before, but it was always the same. As far as he knew, Mr. Dibble could only say a certain number of things. Barney would walk down the hall, and Mr. Dibble would say, good morning, Barney. He'd say, hi, Mr. Dibble.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Work hard, Barney.
Okay, Mr. Dibble. That was all he ever heard from Mr. Dibble. He had never been to the office. He walked down the hallway and reached the office. The secretary said, Mr. Dibble is in his office. You better go see him. He's very upset. Barney walked in. There was Mr. Dibble sitting behind his huge desk.
Hello, Barney.
Hi, Mr. Dibble.
How are you today?
I'm fine, Mr. Dibble.
Please have a seat.
Ooh, thought Barney. He could say something else. He sat down in the chair and looked across the desk at Mr. Dibble. Mr. Dibble said,
now, Barney, what's this I hear about you bringing in candy for the entire fourth grade?
I didn't.
You didn't bring candy in for them?
No.
But you gave them candy?
Yes.
I don't understand.
I know, I don't either.
Barney, this isn't funny.
I know, it's not funny.
What's going on?
I'm sorry, Mr. Dibble, but I don't know what to do. I had a piece of candy in my pocket, and then there was another piece, and I gave some to my friends. And then Ms. Simmons had some, and she wanted more, and then she had the kids get some more, and then Mr. Dinkmeyer came in, and he wanted more, and there's always this piece of candy in my pocket. I don't know what to do.
You have a piece of candy in your pocket right now?
Just one.
May I have it, please?
No.
What?
No.
Give me the candy, Barney.
I can't.
I'm the principal.
That's exactly why you shouldn't have it.
Give me the candy, Barney.
All right, Mr. Dibble, but don't blame me for what's just about to happen.
He reached in his pocket and pulled out a piece of candy and put it in Mr. Dibble's hand.
Barney, you know very well the rules about candy. I've never seen a piece of candy like this before.
Mr. Dibble, put the candy down now.
Don't be ridiculous, Barney. Let me open it up. I never smelled a piece of candy like this before.
Mr. Dibble, don't put it in your...
Oh, my gosh. This is the best candy in the whole world. Everyone has to know.
He runs over to the microphone, gets on it, and says,
Attention all staff and students, please report to the office for candy from Barney Humphnagel.
No, Mr. Dibble! He hears hundreds of footsteps running down the hallway because when your principal tells you to get candy, that's what you do. They're all lined up.
Give him the candy, Barney.
Mr. Dibble, what about the test?
Who cares about the test? Barney always hated him anyway. Give him the candy.
And so Barney starts to take candy out of his pocket. One piece after another, one person after another, the entire school lined up. All of the kids, all of the teachers, all of the staff in the school. Each person saying, never seen a piece of candy like this before. Never smelled a piece of candy like this before. Oh my gosh, this is the best candy in the whole world. Finally he finishes and Mr. Dibble says,
Time for seconds.
Oh no, says Barney. He hands out candy all day long.
There is no reading. There is no math. There is no science. There's no gym. There's no lunch. There's no recess. There is just candy all day long. Barney looks up at the clock. It's time to go home, but no one seems to care. He sees the buses pulling up in the circle. He sees the parents pulling up. They start to get out of their cars, wondering where their children are. And Barney thinks, oh no,
if the parents come in here, it's the end of the world.
Mr. Dibble, I have to go to the bathroom.
Not yet, Barney.
I have to go.
No,
but Barney doesn't listen. He runs out of the office. He runs out the front door. He runs around the circle
until he sees his mother's car. He opens up the door. He gets in the car, slams the door, and says, Let's get out of here, Mom. What is going on in there, honey?
You don't want to know, Mom. It's a nightmare.
What?
Just get out of here. Let's go.
She drives the car around the circle onto the street. They're headed home. Barney says,
Oh, what a day. I just want to go home. That's all I want.
That's fine, honey, but...
Oh, no.
I just have to stop...
No.
And get a few things...
No.
At the supermarket...
No.
It'll just take a second...
No.
They pull into the supermarket parking lot. His mom parks the car. Do you want to go with me?
No, said Barney. That doesn't work. I'm going to stay here and make you nervous.
Now you stay right here. I'll be right back.
Right,
says Barney. She gets out of the car and walks across the parking lot. Barney watches her get to the supermarket doors. They open and close behind her. And Barney sits in the car, thinking about everything that has happened to him that day. And he sees those doors open. There she is, that little old woman pushing another huge cart of groceries. And Barney knows exactly what to do.
He gets out of the car. He runs across the parking lot very carefully.
And he gets to where she is.
Hi. Oh, you're still here.
Yeah, my mom's shopping. Would you like some help?
Are you sure you have time?
I got plenty of time. My mom lives in the supermarket. Let me push your cart.
Okay, I'll walk with you.
And Barney pushes the cart very slowly across the parking lot, that little old lady dragging her pocketbook along the ground until they reach her car. She reaches in that pocketbook. She pulls out a key. She opens up the door. Barney puts all the groceries in the back seat. There you go.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, she says, would you like another piece of candy?
No, no.
Are you sure? No, I don't want any more candy. You don't?
He said, no, you know what I want?
What?
I want to give you this one back. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a piece of candy. Please take this back.
You don't want any more?
No, Please take it back.
All right.
He put the candy in her hand, and then Barney reached in his pocket. There was nothing there. Oh, he said, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you later.
All right, but wait. If you don't want another piece of candy, would you like a nickel?
That's storyteller Bill Harley. This Saturday afternoon at 2, tune in to 102.7 FM for Karen and Presents Showcase of Local Juno and Other Musical Talent. This week, we'll be featuring the music of Marion Cole and Laura Zahasky. Weather forecast for tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy skies. Thursday, mostly sunny skies with high temperatures near 76 degrees. Friday, partly sunny skies with high temperatures at 67 degrees. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures near 61 degrees. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Moth Radio Hour is dedicated to fathers, to having a father, to being one, and to celebrating the stories that fatherhood provokes.